The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Why don't we look at that front page story in the Irish Daily Mail today about that passport backlog? And I'm joined now on the line by Owen Curry, editor of Air and Travel magazine. You're very, very welcome, Owen.
Good morning, Dervil.
Yeah, look, it's great because it's summertime and thankfully the economy is opening back up and people are going on their holidays. But it's quite a significant backlog and one that has increased quite rapidly just in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't renew their passports last year. Big numbers, heading for 200,000. To put a context on that, back BC before COVID, the busiest month for applications, for passport applications, always May. You'd have about 96,000 in May, 91,000 in April, and June would be third at 81,000. That would go way down to 70 and 60 and 50 and down even to 28 for other months. But that means that we have now in the system as many applications as the two busiest months we would have had before COVID. Loads of reasons for that. A lot of people pulling out the family passports and realising that they're out of date.
Yes, because obviously we haven't been travelling in the last couple of years. Obviously there's people who have deferred or maybe didn't realise their passport was out of date, but really it seems as if it's the first time applications that are the real problem. And presumably that means newborn babies, young kids who haven't travelled before.
Absolutely, Dervil. You know, it's 2 weeks for an adult passport renewal. All hands to the pump in the passport office. They're dealing with this huge bulge of applications. It's 3 weeks for a new child renewal. The children's passport used to be 3 years. It's now 5 years. That's hugely helpful. But the big thing is it's 6 weeks for a first-time application. And a big problem, which has been highlighted, particularly in that Daily Mail article, the number that are being returned for insufficient documentation. It could be up to something like 45% of the passport applications coming back. And the application process, that 6 weeks, only starts counting when your documents are processed, not when you actually put the application in. There's another issue
and
which
that
has arisen because of COVID.
Yeah, just on that, Owen, that people have thought, OK, I got my application in time, it's in, and then they get a query back saying, sorry, there was only 1 ear instead of 2 ears, or it wasn't taken properly. So they think that they've put their passport application for them or their child in time, but actually the clock only starts ticking when they've got it all correctly. So is there a high level of rejection for all sorts of reasons?
High level of rejection. A lot of it is documentation. There also is this issue which really surprises people, but which makes sense. You've legal training yourself, Dervil. The passport photograph is cleared by the computer, but when a legally trained eye goes to look at the photograph, they say, no, it's not good enough. It's a really important document. We can't stress this enough. The Irish passport is one of the half dozen most powerful passports in the world. Gets us in visa-free to 187 countries. But the reason that we are so powerful is that it is a very important legal document and we're very careful about the processing of it.
And particularly for young children and particularly for child welfare and everything to make sure that that you get it right. I didn't realise that until I read the papers this morning that if you're an adult and it's out of date by a number of years, you yourself become a first-time applicant again, even though you might think, well, I'm already in the system in some shape or form.
Another COVID problem because it's 5 years out of date. Now, a lot of people, don't travel every year. They travel every second or third year. But those people have been waylaid by the last 2-3 years. So a passport which would have been, they would have been renewing it 4 years out of date in 2020 is now 6 years out. And it means you go back in as a first timer with all that support documentation, birth certs, all of those sort of things. And a lot of the problems arise with properly witnessed documents, particularly, as you say, with first-time applications
and
with children.
We did try to make sure this didn't happen, but TDs come under huge pressure for looking for emergency applications. We should remind listeners that bucket and spade holidays are not an emergency. But coming on to the new world we're in, if it's PC post-COVID, obviously there are still things you need when you're travelling. It can differ between different countries, but people need to realise that you do need your digital COVID cert. You may need to complete a locator form, and that your little vaccine cards aren't sufficient. So I suppose it adds to the stress of travelling that you do still need to upload or present documentation for when you travel now post-COVID.
Very much. There are still a couple of countries looking for locator forms. There are still the digital COVID cert is pretty central to where you're travelling. If even countries that do not look for locator forms, if you're not vaccinated, Spain requires a locator form. They generally, when you have a country with a locator form, and there are a few left, it generates its own QR code, which supersedes everything else. The real issue, Derval, is not when you arrive at the airport in the other country. It's getting on board the aircraft. The aircraft staff, they have 189 people generally to load, and they want to do it fairly quickly and forcefully. And they just need to see documentation that they're familiar with, that everybody has the digital COVID cert to get in. If they don't, for instance, for Spain, you will need a locator form. And a lot of countries do need a locator form still. If you're flying outside the European Union, they're pretty much the norm. It's only within Europe that we've got that level of normality. But to add to those documents, long ago you needed your boarding pass and you needed your passport. Nowadays you need boarding pass, passport and the digital COVID cert are equivalent to make sure that you get through hassle-free.
Yeah, I have a huge sympathy for elderly and other vulnerable passengers. Kind of, it's sort of inundated with all that we need. And some of our listeners are saying these delays are very frustrating. What can people do if their passports are delayed? Should they get reimbursed? And others saying, can you travel across Europe without being vaccinated? As you say, it can be quite a different picture. But can we agree that it seems that the whole country is going abroad this summer, Owen?
Yeah, we're back to about 90% of the 2019 levels. We're probably demand a little bit more than even the airlines expected. I met Willie Walsh coincidentally just travelling through Heathrow a couple of weeks ago. I think you were interviewed him at another event yourself
recently. I spoke to him recently indeed, yes.
Yeah, he was saying that the demand is roaring well ahead of what the airlines expected, and the airlines are responding to that with trying to get more aircraft in the sky, but they're running into staffing problems. BA have introduced a whole raft of cancellations. Virgin have introduced a whole raft of cancellations because they let so many people go and are trying to retrain.
We've seen that in airports all across the world.
The basis of our airport problem, and it's airports right across Europe. I mean, the security queues in Dublin that have been well highlighted are matched everywhere people go. So it is a little bit more hassle. And the other thing is prices, Derval,
particularly car hire. Look, I mean, and it's in Ireland and it's in elsewhere, but was that just because obviously they were making repayments on cars that they weren't renting out? Is it just that they're passing on these costs to consumers? I saw one quote for a week in Ireland for car rental hire, and it would add a significant amount to your journey. And that, and actually other things that people maybe, because we haven't travelled in a while, but if you're bringing an extra bag that you haven't booked on before, the price of that can be sometimes more than a seat.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. The way car hire works, buy a fleet in January, sell it off in December, make a lot of money for 10 weeks of the summer, and they just keep it humming for the rest. In 2020, they were left with the entire fleet. They were one of the sectors right across the industry that was worst hit. They worked out the demand and supply for last year pretty well, but there's certainly the demand outstrips supply massively in 2022. I would hesitate to say that they're just chasing margin to make money back, because you've got to remember Hertz went into Chapter 11 near bankruptcy in America. But they certainly are not going to put more supply on while they're getting those fees. There is a way around it. The smaller guys, the guys who don't have a desk at the airport, the guys who probably aren't going to show up on page one of your Google search, there is better value out there, but they're harder to find. And that's the reason why there's better value out there. They are harder to find.
Yeah, I've always sort of gone for those kind of big ones. Whatever it value for money, if you're going to be travelling abroad, particularly right now, it's perhaps not necessarily good news, but there's a heat wave in Spain at least, and we're going to be seeing perhaps some people will be flocking to those temperatures, but it's certainly a feature of travel in the coming weeks.
Certainly, the advice, very strong advice, is cover up, don't go out in the sun and hydrate. It's pretty standard. We've had big heat waves 2019, even 2021, and listeners will remember 2003. The real difference here in Spain is we've never had anything like this in May since they started recording temperatures in the 1500s in Jaén and inland around Córdoba and eastern Andalusia. It's gone past the 40 degrees now. It's been creeping up since Monday, around 35 in the Balearics and those places that the Irish like to go to, Marbella, Neja and Frejiliana, where Christy Moore goes on the holidays. They're around 35 and they would continue to rise a little bit. But the real difference is this is May and we've had a June heat wave, a record temperatures for June in 2019, but it does seem it's getting earlier and earlier. And if you count back the big heat waves right across Europe, and this one can be felt in southern France and Paris even, not as high as there, but if you count back, seven of the hottest years in European history have been since 2000. So there is something going on which is affecting our holiday patterns and what we can expect when we go to these countries.
Lots of people getting in touch. Ellen in Wicklow has some good news. She said, I renewed my passport online on the 21st of April and I received my new passport within the week. She said she was very impressed with the turnaround time. Owen, what are going to be the long-lasting impacts or legacies, both, I suppose, positive and negative, in terms of travel from the COVID-19 pandemic?
Number one positive, it was the gift taken away. We probably will be more appreciative of it, and it'll generate people seeking a different sort of product. The big cruise ship with 5,400 people and the queues to get through Dubrovnik and Barcelona is being replaced a little bit by out into the countryside. That will bring us to destinations which are a little bit different from where we went before, because it'll bring us to natural parks, to walking, to cycling. That'll be hugely beneficial, by the way, to inbound in Ireland, because that imagery that we send all over the world is of our west coast and high cliffs and the wind blowing through your hair. So they're the sort of things we'll see that are different out of tourism. We'll also see a greater awareness of health in general, not just an airborne virus, but everybody who's planning infrastructure and planning how to manage tourism in future is going to put the health of the people arriving very, very firmly out in number one. And that extends to things like our aviation industry. Everyone's learned an awful lot from the last 2-3 years, Dermot.
One of our listeners says perhaps we haven't learned an awful lot. He says, please ask travellers through Dublin Airport to get their hand luggage prepared in compliance with the travel rules before joining queues. The poor behaviours, slowing up, checking at security, it's very frustrating for others. It is kind of funny to see that several years sort of post 9/11 and all of the security checks, that some people still don't get what's required of them when the security
how to pack, Derval. Very simply, we've forgotten how to pack, and the number of bags that are going in for secondary. Well, there was two things went on around the time when the summer schedules came in. The number of flights went up and the queues got extremely long, but there was a security an upgrade in Dublin's security, which meant a lot more bags went for secondary. But as you know, anecdotally, just wandering through every airport I've been through, people are less they're just out of practice. It's the sort of thing that happens as all when we haven't done something for a while.
This is it. Another one said, I flew to Mallorca last week, no locator form required. All I needed was my COVID cert. It is good to be back abroad again.
And that's,
I
think, right. Despite, but you do need the locator form if you're not vaccinated for Spain. It is the vast majority of people coming to Spain, no locator form, and the rest of Europe, no locator form. Masking on flights, by the way, it's still required in about 14 destinations that we're flying to, despite last Monday's regulation. Anywhere that has masking for public transport, and they include places like France, you will need the mask flying to those destinations.
But it's funny, because one country might say you need an FFP2, but the destination country might need a lesser one. It gets really confusing. But however, all things considered, Owen Curry, editor of Earn Travel magazine, it is good to be back talking about tourism positively. Once again, we'll let you go and we'll take a quick break.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.